Now, our next guest is known to his friends over in the Big Apple in New York as Lazarus, because, as it said, he rose from the dead after overcoming his alcoholism. But born and bred in Fermanagh, he's better known, and maybe better known to us in the coming days, as the Forrest Gump of Derry, because he's taken on a running feat here in the city, which is quite simply remarkable. His visit has also been designed to include a world premiere of Running Man McGrath, as he's known, as part of the Foyle Film Festival. The man himself is here, Tom McGrath, and Kieran McGinley from the hospice as well. Tell him a good afternoon to you.
Thank you, Mark.
Tom, yours is... I was looking through your story, you know, when we saw the programme initially, I've been looking through it today. It's simply remarkable.
Thank you.
So, did you dream the dream as a young fella in Fermanagh and set your eyes on the great American dream? Or take us back.
No, I didn't. I was brought up in Fermanagh and 11 in the family, and we were born on a farm, and it was the old days with no electricity, no running water, and the famous outhouse and all that stuff, but little food and very little clothing. But I went to college in Belfast, and then I went out to play football in New York when I was 18.
You had a degree of success as a sportsman, didn't you?
I played basketball, I played Gaelic football, I played in 2 All-Ireland under 21 finals, and played a bit of soccer, and I boxed a bit. So I tried them all, and they ended up running. But somewhere along the line, I went from the fast lane into the slow lane. Mm. And I ended up in hospital because of alcohol abuse.
I was putting it mildly in terms of the slow lane, because you set out as a family man. You got yourself a bar in New York. Yeah, you were living the dream.
I was. Things were going great, and my wife, she's from Edirne also in County Fermanagh, and we got married in New York, and we have a daughter, Kelly. Things were going all right, and I went sideways. I started to drink and get involved in a lot of drinking sessions, and I forgot about my running, I forgot about my sports, I forgot about my family, I forgot about everything. Mm. And I basically, and this is kind of sad to say, I created my own deathbed nearly. Almost. Yeah. When I went into the hospital, the doctors told me, "You're going nowhere. You're not leaving this hospital." And they said, on no uncertain terms, if you don't change your ways immediately, starting right now, you will die. You will die within 10 days.
But the drunk always sees a way out, don't they?
No, they don't. A lot of them don't see a way out. That's unfortunate. And my film is about a way out. Exactly, that's a good way of putting it.
Where was the bar, Tom, in New York?
It was on 3rd Avenue. I had 12 bars in my time.
12 bars?
Yeah, so it was a good life I was living. And I hadn't 12 at one time, but have a bar, set it up and do good business, then sell it, and then move on. So itchy feet, I moved on somewhere else.
But you have all that talent, all that drive to leave...
Yeah,
the back acreage of Edirne to do that in New York. That's an achievement in itself.
It is. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Really, like.
But getting back to the alcohol, that wiped away that dream. But thank God it came back. I mean, when I was in the hospital, I did promise my family and I promised God, if He give me the strength, the willpower, and the discipline and determination, that to walk out of that hospital, I would start running again, mm-hmm. And I did. I started running, and I ran thousands of miles since I got out.
Listeners might struggle to understand, Tom, why a man who has it all, wife, family, business, success story, sporting prowess, can't look and say what is staring you in the face. If you take on a bar, and you have your... It's your gaff, it's your drink, yes. It's your money, the biggest danger in that staring at an intelligent man in the face is, don't hit the bottle. Why did you hit it?
That's the $1 million question. Why did you hit the bottle? Honestly, I don't read much about alcohol in the medical field because, unfortunately, and I say unfortunately, I mean that, I know all about alcohol. I know what it will and what it can do to you. It will bring you down. The word moderation never was in my vocabulary. Unfortunately, but now it is. It's number one. Alcohol, I sell it for a living. And every morning I go in and I say hello to the bottles, and that's as far as that goes. But if it's not done in moderation, it will bring the human being down. And when you ask me why did I drink, I cannot answer that question.
Really?
No, I cannot answer that question. I know what it did to me, and it doesn't have a good taste either.
What was your tipple? Were you a vodka man?
I was vodka and club soda. And
soda.
Then it ended up that, unfortunately, you would go to the beer if you didn't get the vodka. And early in the morning, you would start. And what used to break my heart was when I'd see a runner go by my bar. I knew deep down in my heart and soul, that should be me. Mm-hmm. That should be me.
And were you a late-night drinker afterwards when you were regulars?
Anytime.
Day and night, Tom?
Anytime.
You'd get up in the morning.
Stomach wouldn't care what time you drink.
Is that right?
Yeah, it doesn't really care. Body doesn't care. You lose trace of time. You lose focus on what you're doing. You lose... you don't care about bills.
But how do you hold on to the bar then for any amount of time if you're full in the morning?
Well, I had good staff. And my socialising, unfortunately, was helping my cash register to a certain extent that I was drinking with the customers. And they were in New York's a different system than it is here in Ireland. The people spend the money drinking. They buy you a drink and they buy everybody a drink. And
you got to get down to Irish Tom. He's the guy. That kind of stuff.
He's the party man.
He's the guy.
He'll make you laugh when you're supposed to be crying.
But in a way, there's a stereotype there, isn't it? And you were happy to play up to it, the Irish drinker.
Well, I didn't think of it that way, but that's the way it ended up, yeah.
And they loved you?
Yeah, that's more or less, yeah. They love you when you're buying them drinks and you're involved with the music going, the chats going, and everybody's in a good mood. And the end result is the body is going downhill.
And you don't know why. You don't know why you couldn't see it.
No,
this is what staggers a lot of non-drinkers, you know.
In the film, I say, I often wonder, was I running around New York? Was I running hundreds of miles carrying a disease? I dispute that. If a person doesn't take a drink for 40 years and they die, they were labelled an alcoholic when they're alive. Mm. And then when they're dead, he was an alcoholic. Is that true?
Well, this is the crux, and I think it divides opinion. People say, look, it's in your genes, it was in your disposition, but you have a disease. Or maybe, as others would say, look, you get up in the morning, you chose to reach for vodka.
Yeah, but who's to prove...
It's not a disease like cancer, you know.
And also I question, can you be cured or can you not? Who's to say that I'm not cured? Nobody. Because how would they know I'm not cured? There's no symptoms. Other than if I drink again, then you're not cured.
What do you do when you smell vodka? When you walk past a pub and you...
That wouldn't bother me at all.
Doesn't?
No, thank God, it doesn't bother me.
How long do you dry, Tom?
Well, I started about 6 years ago, but I fell. As we all do, we make mistakes. Mm-hmm. But I'm back now at least almost 2 years without even one. And the 5 years is only once or twice, but still once or twice, you fall.
Yeah. And you don't believe in moderation? I know a lot of people who just
believe in moderation now.
Can you have a glass of wine with a drink, with a meal?
I never tried, because it doesn't. It never entered my head, but now I believe in moderation.
I'm not encouraging you.
No, I have a big run coming up. That's not the reason why I don't drink, but that's part of the reason. Moderation is important. I said on camera one time that if I got another bar, I would call it moderation.
You'd make no money.
Oh well,
that's your man. All Tom's regulars to sit with a half a soda for 3 hours, listening to the music, watching the TV.
But I have a beautiful run coming up Saturday.
Yeah, I want to talk about that in a second. I could talk to you all day, because I think this is an issue that impacts an awful lot of families fundamentally. Tom, without being too private about this, how low did you go? Did you lose the family? Were you on the street? How low did you go?
I was in the gutter, but they didn't put the cover on the manhole. That's how low I was. My family stood by me. I got to the hospital. The doctor said, I hope you're here on time. That's the words he said. I hope you're here on time. Mm-hmm. So that didn't register with me, because my brain was swimming alcohol at that time.
You said you say hello to the bottles. Are you still a vintner?
Oh, yeah. I go to the bar every day. I work there every day. I do my
In
work.
Your own bar?
Oh, yeah.
So amazingly...
Oh, yeah.
So you haven't run away. You've just said, I'm the boss now. You're not the boss.
I faced the problem head on.
Have you still got a wee bar in New York?
Oh, yeah, I still got there. I go there every day with the customers. I go in behind a bar and I pour them a drink. Well, anytime I do that, it's free. But I do it.
And where are you now? Where's the wee bar now?
It's in Manhattan, 53rd Street. It's called the Black Sheep.
The Black Sheep.
Yeah. The black sheep, yeah.
And you never come... See, if any man would have a thirst, it's a man that runs like you. At the end of that marathon, does the cold beer not look at you and go, Tom?
No, it doesn't affect that way. I think that... I don't know whether the medical field will agree with this or not, but I think that... And this is... I'm talking about myself. I'm not talking about other people. Mm. That the brain has to mature to the extent where you realise if you drink, you will die. That's a heavy-duty statement to make.
So how do you sell drink to a man that you know on the other side has been drinking for 20 years? He will be full, and you know he'll be full, because you're the gaffer.
First of all, he can't serve to intoxication.
Yes, but you know what I mean?
I do.
How do you feel feeding the habit of others?
I can see people going down the wrong path. I do see it on a daily basis.
How do you feel pulling that pint?
I would speak to them quietly. See, you cannot be selling whiskey and then telling the guy not to drink it, take his money. That's not that easy. But I see, not a lot, but I do see people heading in the wrong direction.
Yes.
And I do speak to them quietly. And another thing, I will never serve anybody, never, that is driving, never.
Yeah.
There's no. I'll take the keys off them, or I will ask him to leave before he even get a drink.
I knew a man, actually, I'm celebrating his life with an exhibition in my hometown this week, and he has a similar journey in life. We lost him this year, sadly. Teetotaler for all the second half of his life, and stayed the secretary of the bar, the institute of which, you know, previously was where he did his drinking. I don't know how teetotalers do it, Tom. How does your punter react when Tom, there's a little whiskey, little vodka.
No.
None of that?
No. They know that all these runs that I'm doing, I do a lot of runs for kids, special needs. I just got 10,000 pairs of shoes for kids in New York. I ran 100 miles there about a month ago. I also did the New York Marathon for the kids. So they all know that I'm involved in helping kids and charities. So nobody offers me a drink. Nobody.
Nobody.
And it wouldn't bother me if they did. No, it wouldn't bother me. No, I just have a coffee or a Diet Coke.
I'm very personal. What age of a man are you?
I'm hitting the big 66.
66?
Yeah, next birthday, yeah.
If I went out the other day and ran with you, I couldn't run 12 minutes. I know I couldn't run 12 minutes. That's just a fact. And you're going to do it for 12 hours on Saturday?
Yeah, Saturday morning.
12 hours non-stop?
Well, I'll hopefully go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the idea. 12. But now, it's a run for the Foyle Hospice. Mm-hmm. And the idea is to complete the journey. Don't race, as I said to people, don't run into the hospital. You'll get there soon enough. Take my time and just cover. It'd be nice to hit near enough. 50 miles would be nice. I'd be happy with that.
That's two marathons.
Yeah, that would be nice.
And I believe the trick is you're going to do the two bridges just wherever far you go, and eventually when the 12 hours is up, you run into the Guildhall, our beautiful, restored, magnificent Guildhall, and then they premiere the film of your life. Running Man McGrath.
But I have to say that of all the runs I've done, and I knew this from day one from Kieran McGillney from the hospice, the way he was talking, I knew, and so far it's right, that this would be the run of my life. And Derry has treated me so far, and I'm only here a couple of days, so beautiful. The Pope wouldn't get as much treatment, or the Queen wouldn't get as much treatment as I got.
Well, you're never up here, no?
I was up here one time 50 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
I was selling holly and they stole it out of the van and I had to get money for petrol to go home.
When you were a teenager.
Yeah, a teenager.
It gets under the fingernails. There's something about the place. I've had a similar experience.
I ran through here in 2011, which was the turning point of my life, the run around the north of Ireland, six counties, 300 miles for Dr. Theodore Laverty and Action Cancer and Marie Curie. Mm-hmm. That was the turning point from drink.
I must say to listeners, you cut a most distinct figure, Tom. I mean, there's not two of you in the crowd, let me put it that way.
Thank God.
You've got a pink collar thing on you. You've got big bling rings on. You've got the gold bracelets on both wrists and a very distinctive coiffure of grey hair. Oh, yeah. There's not two look like you in New York.
I think I'll stay in Derry.
Do you know what I mean?
This is a great city. I'm getting all the compliments of the day.
You cut a very distinct figure. Yeah. That's remarkable.
Thank you. I never heard that, but I'll remember that.
Look at me, two men. Kieran, what a story. I mean, what a story. And just a remarkable guy there at your left hand.
An actual inspiration, Mark. I've spoken to Tom many times over the phone. in the past couple of months, and from the very first day that I spoke to him, I was just inspired by his story and inspired by what he does, particularly for the kids in New York. And I knew that this was something that this city needed to be involved in. And it culminates now on Saturday. And I have to say, I spent a long time with Tom last night, and I went home to my wife and I said, you know, what an inspirational man, what an absolute genius to come from where he said in the gutter to where he is today, and what he has done for so many children in New York, and what he's going to do now for us this weekend. It is inspirational, and that's why I would encourage as many people as possible, if they are in the city on Saturday, come to the Peace Bridge at some time and see him.
I'm nearly afraid, Phyllis, to look at the weather forecast here for Saturday, because there's a hoolie coming in, I believe. Are we fearful?
We are fearful a little bit, I think. But that's not going to stop us.
And we'll dress accordingly.
Yeah. Michelle, I'll put the weather up here before you continue. I don't want to do a Google quiz when I'm on the wireless. Londonderry, I'll get it to it in a wee second. Kieran, it's an interesting one because I believe regional runners are being invited to do, and it will feel a wee bit like the Forrest Gump thing. You know, he starts out and then another crowd come with him and another crowd. Jeepers, it could be a great crowd.
Every half hour on the hour, Mark, Tom's going to start at 7:30 in the morning. We're setting up a marquee in the Derry City Council car park, not far from Sainsbury's, and that will be our base for the day, and we will do a loop of the Craigavon Bridge, Peace Bridge, back down to Sainsbury's, and he will continue to do that loop right throughout the day. And all of the running clubs in the town have been so supportive of us since we introduced this event and talked to them about this event, and they are sending between 20 and 30 runners each hour to run with Tom to make sure that he gets through this on Saturday.
I just about cycled the two bridges once. Have you ever run it?
Oh, I've run it.
Have you?
Yes, I have run it.
It's a fair old jump.
Well, we're not using the Foyle Bridge. We're going to use the Peace Bridge and the Craigavon Bridge.
Peace and Craigavon only?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was the High Bridge. My apologies, I've misled listeners. So she's going to go run around the short two bridges?
Run around the short two bridges, down by Sainsbury's. It allows Tom to have access to our marquee, toilet facilities, some food, drink throughout the day, and to make the loop a little bit shorter for them. But it's also to encourage people to, if they are not able to run, to come out and watch him on Saturday.
Walk too.
And anybody that wants to come and walk it, Tom will pass them at some point during the day. But I think it's what has driven me is his inspiration and his story. And I believe that will culminate on Saturday evening in the Guildhall for the film.
Fellas, brace yourselves. A much colder few days, as the BBC, with sunny intervals and scattered sleet and snow. Showers mainly in the north. You have a north wind, Tom, the worst of the lot. 5 degrees will be the high point of Saturday in this town. And a north or northwesterly wind with the occasional sunny spell. You may get the duvet coat out.
Some sun coming out.
You've a handful of sun, but mostly precipitation of various sorts.
Okay, well, we have to dress accordingly, but that won't stop us.
No.
It's in the ladder of life, the kids that I was running for in New York, they were running into life, and now I'm here in Derry running for people, unfortunately, they might be running out of life. So I would love that the listeners that would help out with the Foyle Hospice. Any euro at all, or dollars, or whatever you want to give, fine.
I use the term affectionately, the Pied Piper thing, because you will do that. I mean, I looked at the photograph in the Foyle Film Festival thing. You know, when you run past, there will be a vibe, not unlike the Forrest Gump thing. Yeah. Is it something that you entertain? Because is that part of the thing for you?
No,
there's running Ma McGrath.
Yeah. No, as long as the only thing you worry about is every time you put your foot down that you worry that it'll come back up the way it went down. And I'd like to correct you about Forrest Gump. He copied me. I ran across America first. He then copied me.
Did you honestly?
Yeah, I ran across the United States in 1977. And then Forrest Gump came later.
You ran across the United States?
He didn't ask me my permission, but he did it anyway.
Do you think they might have been an inspiration there? Because
I don't know,
maybe others have done it.
Yeah,
I
ran across 1977. From New York to San Francisco, 3,046 miles in 53 days and 7 minutes.
As you do.
That's what I did. The running for, when you run for these long distances, a lot of changes happen in the body and the mind questions why you're doing this, and is that time you would think of and you'd ask God for help, But at that time you would think, why are you doing this? Especially when you're out there all alone. Mm-hmm. The muscles get sore and the mind gets weak. And then you would go back to why you're doing it. Yeah, and then you would think of the kids, some of them that are lying in a hospital bed, that surrounded by sophisticated medical equipment, having the dedicated doctors and nurses as their playmates, and the hospital ward as their playground. My pain and agony is nothing. That'll go away in 12 to 24 hours. Some of these kids are hit the wall all day, every day.
How much money do you think you've made in this regard in your life?
Well, last month there, I raised $100,000 in New York alone.
In a month?
Yeah, last month I ran 100 miles in New York. I ran from school to school in the five boroughs. And I'll tell you one quick story that happened in the school, and this is a beautiful story. I was about to leave the gym with the disabled kids. We're running around and joking around, and there was a commotion in the corner, and I didn't know what happened. I thought there was a little tussle among the kids. There was one of them crying out loud, real loud. Mm-hmm. And the reason why he was crying, he said, "I don't want Mr. Tom to leave." He called me Mr. Tom.
Mr. Tom.
And that was wow. Oh yeah, that touched me. And I had to run. more with him around the gym again. Yeah. But he forgot about it then. As time went on.
Are you talking millions, probably down the years?
Well.
Probably.
Pretty high up, yeah. I can't give a figure, but pretty
Tom,
high
up. Tom, does it frustrate you, the cost of medical care in the States? Because it could so easily be so much more available to so many more people. And it wasn't the like yourself, maybe some of these kids wouldn't get care. I was looking at this. I mean, drugs in America, I mean, you know, the four big companies in America make most of the drugs on the planet, Pfizer and those guys. Yeah. And yet drugs in the States are more expensive per capita than any other place in the world. That must frustrate you in part, does it?
Oh, yes. It's unbelievable. And then there's so much cheating going on in the medical system, where people are not being honest and ripping off the government. We're all taxpayers paying for everything. Then there was a person, I forget the drug he was making, he was laughing on television that it would cost $10 and he put it up to $700.
And he said, "I'm that great fella." And he was castigated on social media.
Oh, yeah. But he was laughing on TV.
Yeah.
And I said, he was laughing at how he could rip off the public.
The patients, he was laughing. I said, I can charge so much more now for my
drug. Week later, he was off, boom. That should never happen. Yeah. I don't know about the system here, but the American system, it isn't too bad, but the money, there's a lot of crookery going on, which is, I suppose, universal, but that bothers me a lot.
As I say here locally, there's not a pick on you. You know, you've run that much, but I wonder how the knees are, how the arches of the feet.
Well, truthfully, I train 3 to 4 hours every day, and it's not all running. There's strength and rolling and stretching and massage. That's all part of the training. I do certain exercises for the muscles and all the muscles in the legs, and that prevents injury to a certain degree. But when I get an injury, I take care of it immediately. Thank God I know how to do that.
What happens if you go on your ankle on Saturday?
Well, I'll let you know.
But these are the things. I mean, you know,
I just hope that doesn't. Well, right away you've got to ice it immediately. But yeah. That's where when I run, I usually keep an eye on the ground. There's no scenery when I'm running. I don't see scenery at all.
Yeah.
Even though it's beautiful here in Derry,
it's beautiful.
I'll just be watching the ground.
Yeah.
Always.
Do you see a time you'll stop? Will the body say to you one morning, "Right, young McGrath, up those running shoes"?
I might slow down. I think Derry, the way Derry's treating me, I was thinking about slowing down after Derry, but the way I've been treated here, and the Foyle Film Festival, and the hospice, and even the hotel, all they greet me with open arms. I might keep on running.
Indeed. Listen, Kieran, an awful lot of people might be very touched by what they're hearing today, and I know it's important to get organised, because I don't think you can just turn up, because it's highly likely this will do very well on Saturday night, the film, so maybe best to go online for that, eh?
Yeah, that would be best, to go on to the Foyle Film Festival website and book tickets to see the film. It's a 7:30 start. We're very grateful to the Foyle Film Festival. I've worked very closely with Bernie McLaughlin and the other staff there to have this premiered in the Guildhall. And that's a big thing for us.
There's a great photograph of Tom in the middle of Manhattan, and he's emblazoned in black shorts and a bright orange vest. And behind him is the poster for the Lion King. Did you ever notice that they're perfectly colour matched you with the Lion King poster? Did you notice that?
No, we set it up, Mark.
Is that the way it was?
It's Times Square. They did it for me.
It's very, very good. For Manaborn marathon runner Tom McGrath's mission as he returns to home soil is twofold, and on it goes. Telling the story, a 12-hour marathon on which Tom will run around the Peace Bridge and Foyle Bridge. Craigavon, it's not the Foyle as billed, as you just said, Kieran. Kieran, any other pieces of housekeeping in terms of any support that maybe people out there might want to offer, or maybe a final thought?
Yeah, a final thought would be if you want to come along, our marquee is in Derry City Council Care Park. You can come along at any time and join in with Tom. Come along, give him support. If you're in the town shopping on Saturday, come to the Priest Bridge. Tom will be passing there every 15, 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. But probably the most important thing is that I would encourage that if anybody has any free time between 7:30 and 8:30 on Saturday, get onto the Foyle Film Festival website.
Indeed.
Come and see the film. It's inspirational.
I do put it down as a marker. We've had listeners telling us that there was a guano problem on the Craigavon Bridge. I didn't know that was where you're going, Tom. But the bridge, listeners have told us, and joggers have told us that they've been slipping on it, Kieran. It's maybe something worth looking at, in terms of this man's welfare.
Thank you to them for that.
So that means I have to run to keep my feet off the ground.
Keep your feet off the ground and watch the pigeons.
Hydroplane.
Catch the pigeon, Tom. What a pleasure. It's a conversation.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And I want to thank Derry for all their hospitality. Thanks so much. And I mean that.